Is it too cold for him? Maybe I'll tell you what I'm going to do on the show. No, not your place. Hey, Yax. Shmuleika, good morning. Was macht Eid?
Good morning. God sei Dank. Was macht Eid?
Baruch Hashem. Learned Eidish word.
Baruch Hashem.
All right. Wow, we have a nice young crew over here. Good morning, Kayvon. Baruch Hashem. This is good.
Good morning. Good morning, Rachel.
Chayinu 3, you finally, it's hard to get.
You've been working since you started.
You finally got it.
Yeah.
You know, Yaakov, I didn't get more Chayinu, so you have to find out why. We only got that.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, good morning. Oh, it's late. All right, let's see if this works. With the help of Hashem, we are learning today's three Prakim Rambam, Hilchos Mezuzah, Hey, and Vav. Followed by Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Shimshon Nechemia Ben Yehoshua Karpel. We are starting with Hilchos Mezuzah Perek Chamishi. This is really the first Perek about Mezuzah. We're going to learn about the dinim of writing the Mezuzah, the dinim of affixing the Mezuzah. Perek Chamishi has 11 halachas, starting with Halacha Aleph, says the Rambam. How do we write a mezuzah? We write down the two portions of Shema and of Ahoyi Im Shemoya al Daf Echot on one column. That's what we teach. Biriya Achas on one piece of parchment. And we should leave on this parchment a little bit of empty space, both in the bottom. And Verevach Milmaina, a little bit of empty space on the top. How much? A half of a fingernail. That's around 1 centimeter. Of course, you can leave a bit more. The point is that you have to leave a little bit of space on top and on bottom. If a person chose to write this mezuzah on 2 or 3 columns, then it's still post facto. It's okay. However, ubulvad, what are the red lines? What may not be done? Don't make it like a tail. You know what a tail would mean? The top line has a certain amount of width. The line underneath it is less wide, but from both sides, less wide. So think about a triangular that's pointing down. We're going to see later in Hilchos Sefer Torah that some things have to be met. As long as you start the line on the right side, which is from where we start on the same level, then in one scenario, you can end every line a little bit less. Zanaf would mean that both lines, both the right and the left, every line is a little bit narrower. That's something that may not be done. Nor may you write a mezuzah like eagle in a circle, right? Nor may you write it like a kuba. A kuba is the opposite of a zanaf. A kuba may be what would be called a pyramid, having, you know, the top, just the word Shema, and then the word underneath it, Hashem Elikeinu, and then etc. Another thing, if it was written out of water, even if the out of order is an entire parsha. In other words, you wrote first Vahayim Shemaya in the bottom of the parchment. Then you wrote the Shema on the top of the parchment, same product. Again, it's not shot that in the same parsha you went Shalika Seder. Don't forget Shema, Vahayim Shemaya, Parshas Voschan and Parshas Ekev, there's a lot in between. That's also Psula. That's the word that by Tfilin and by a mezuzah, learning mezuzah, you can't even write one letter out of the Seder. Which is why it's so challenging that if it becomes puzzle, you really can't fix it. Because even if you'll fix the letter, well, that letter was written at the end. If a person wrote a mezuzah on 2 completely separate pieces of parchment, even though they were sewn together, also psulam. Okay, right. Sefer Torah got worn out, or tefillin got worn out, can't make it into a mezuzah. Now, let me ask you guys a question. How do you think you would make it into how exactly would that work? Remember, we learned this in the Gemara. Let me tell you, Yaakov. Imagine in the Torah, if on one column, if you have the Shema ending at the end of the column, and in the Sefer Torah, and you were to cut it out because the Sefer Torah got worn out, and you would write under the Shema on the white parchment under the column, you would squeeze in the Vahayim Shemaya. That may not be done. Question is, why not? First, the Shema was written, and now you're writing Vahayim Shemaya. or if one of the scrolls that we learned yesterday about the tefillin, which only has the Shema, if there is a big margin under the Shema, underneath, that's empty, and you'll squeeze in V'hayim Shemaya. That's the issue of Ein Morid in Bakkadosh, because a Sefer Torah and a tefillin have more Kedusha than a mezuzah. V'loy min ha'gulyoinim shal Sefer Torah. Bechlal, if not that you already have the Shema written, and now you're squeezing in the V'hayim Shemaya. What happens if you have a parchment that is part of a Sefer Torah? The Sefer Torah got worn out, so you can cut out an area that's completely white, never yet used. That may no longer be used to write the whole mezuzah, Shema, and V'hayim Shemaya. And even the Kedushas Hagilion that's blank in the Sefer Torah, my friends, has more Kedusha than a mezuzah. Halacha base, blank. So a person comes to a shir and they fall asleep on the shir, that has more kedusha than sleeping. You're connected, even though it's blank. Halacha beis. U'mitzvah lasso yisrevach shebein parsha shema loyim shemayam. Parsha sumo. That you have to make it into a parsha sumo. Now that's a great picture online. Let me tell you what it means. It means one of the two. Either, we already spoke out, either finish the shema at the end of the line. And if you were to do that, then you have to leave a revach of 9 letters, blank, prior to beginning V'hayim Shemaya. Or even if the words Uvisha Arecha, the parsha of Shema, does not end all the way at the end, if there is some empty space, so then you begin V'hayim Shemaya also, not in the beginning, but you don't need to leave all 9 letters empty. Either way, that would mean that V'hayim Shemaya is called the Parsha Sesuma, according to the Rambam. Okay, that is something that has to be done. And what may you not do, my friends, you may not start V'hayim Shemaya in the beginning of a line, even if the word 9 letters or more empty on the end of Shema. So there's a big open space on the top line after the words of Visharecha, but V'hayim Shemaya may not start from the beginning of the line. The im also is a psucha, ksheira, but if post facto you made it psucha, it's going to be kosher. Why? Lefi she'eino ismucha l'mena Torah. Because don't forget, v'hayim shemaya in the Torah doesn't follow the Shema. Now guys, what did we learn yesterday in the tefillin? The Rambam did not write it. The Rambam wrote that if you make v'hayim shemaya in the tefillin a parsha psucha, the Rambam says it's not good. I'll tell you the difference. Because in the tefillin there are 4 parshias. Kaddishli and Bahoya Kiviyacha in the Torah are juxtaposed one to the other. Happens to be their psucha. Means that you're beginning in the beginning of the line. If a soifun would be allowed, even the Dievet, to write in the mezuzah, to write Vahoyim Shemaya like it is a parsha psucha, which means in the beginning of the line, then he would think that Kaddish Vahoya Kiviyacha doesn't make really a difference, at least Bidiyevet, psucha or stuma. Then he might make Vahoya Kiviyacha as a stuma, and that may not be done. Because Vayiki V'yacha is followed. It comes after Kaddishli. It must be a Parsha Psucha. So they have to be, so by Tefillin, you say it has to be the way it is in the Torah, even post-facto. By the Mezuzah, that there's only 2 Parshiyos, but the evidence, okay. Tzorech Lizor B'takim Shema, you have to be careful when it comes to the crowns. And like the Rambam told you where crowns are made on the Tefillin, the Rambam is telling you where crowns are made in the Mezuzah, and let's go one by one by one. Halacha Gim. Parsha Roshayna, there are only 7 oisiyas that each one of them have 3 zayinim. Don't forget, tagim is also not consistent, as we learned yesterday. How many tagim? The Elohein Shin and Ayin of Shema. Guys, whoever can just imagine the Shin of the Shema, right, which has 3 tagim, just to tell you that the Shin has 3 heads. We put the 3 tagim on the leftmost head. There are people that actually will have in Shema 7 tagim. I'm saying this because we need to say this information for later. Not everyone does it. What would be the 7? Not that they would squeeze 7 little zayinim on top of the left-headed shin, but they would put on the left one 3, on the middle one 2, and on the right one 2. 2, 2, and 3, stam to know. But anyway, the Rambam does not hold that way. He says you put 3 on the shin, you put 3 on the ayin, on the nun of nafshecha, Utrei Zainim, and then you put 2 Zainim, which is a smaller crown, right? A less elaborate crown on the Shel Mezuzois, Utrei Tesin, Shel Tei Tofes. That's the total. Parsha Shini, you have Sheish Oisius, al kol ois mehem. Also, you have three zainim be'elohim, gimel shal digonecha, three zainim shal mezuzoi, so three tesim shal teitapus, and tzadik shal ha'aretz. Now, the Rambam says, ve'im lo yaso tagin, or like we said yesterday, you added to them, or you subtracted from them, lo yipasal, which is why a machaya that if, when a sefer is boidik your tefillin or mezuzas, many times they'll tell you, if it was pasal, you can't fix it, because you can't, that's a problem. Well, if there's an extra letter, you can take it out. You can't add letters. But if there's an issue with the tagin, you can fix it. That's not a problem. It was good anyways. You're just making it from good b'diavad to good lachatchil, or to good mehuda. If it was written on a parchment that was not indented, that was not ruled, like we explained, that in the parchment they make these lines from which the letters hang. Or if letters that have to be full, like we learned yesterday, letters, the same pronunciation, the letters only serve as vowels, but they have to be either with the vav or without the vav, with the yud, without the yud, with the hey, without the hey. Or if you added after you finish the mezuzah even one letter, then psulam tagim only lechatchila. This psul halacha for minik pasha shekoysven al mezuzah mibachutz kenegad arevach shemim parsha lapasha. There is space between Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, because like we said, Vahayim Shemaya is a parsha susuma. So therefore, there's either going to be 9 empty letters prior to Vahayim. The picture that Kaven put up on the screen before is the classical picture. You don't have 9 empty letters prior to Vahaya. It doesn't begin in the beginning of the line. It doesn't have to have 9 letters because the parsha of Shema doesn't end at the end of the line. So if you can look at any mezuzah, you'll see that after, like the one that's on the screen here, after Vishoracha, there's really 3 letters that are vacant. Only 3. And before Vahayim Shemaya, you have 5. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be. It has to be a little bit here and a little bit there. So there's a vac, there's an empty space. So on the opposite side of the mezuzah, which is key. On top of that, it's not even behind letters. But I said now, the latter thing is not that important. As I'll tell you in a moment, our minhag to write behind the letters, Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem, every subsequent letter. So Hashem is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. After Yud comes, Chav. So they write Shemes HaMalachim Choyzoi B'Mochoyz Choyzoi. But that's written Mamish, letter behind letter. The point over here is that whatever was being added is not added on the front of the mezuzah. It's not added on the same place where you have the letters of Shema Bohaim Shemaya. It's added on the other side. And on top of that, it's not connected that ever Shema Parashah LaParashah. The meaning is to add Shin Dalad Yud, right? We say Shakai because it's one of Hashem's holy names. The aim was a Hefzed. Why does this not invalidate the mezuzah? Why would it invalidate the mezuzah Yaakov? Because you can't even add a letter. You can't even add a letter. So if you would add anything, even God's holy name, it doesn't invalidate it, Lefi, not because it's between the Revach, Shuhumi Bachutz, because since it's on the opposite side, it is okay. And indeed, our minik is to add Shemay Samalachim, which corresponds to Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem, right? Each letter, the subsequent letter, so Yud is followed by a Chaf, then a Vav, then a Zayin, then a Vav, as everyone can just look behind their mezuzah. Now, you have to know how to read Pshat over here. People that add on the inside of the mezuzah, names of malachim, or shem, or iskadoshim, or all the holy names of God Almighty, or pasuk, or verse, or chaysamais, or seals. There's a sefer called Sefer Ziyah HaMalach, which perhaps is the oldest sefer we have written by Adam Arishan, and there are certain symbols that were taught to him by malachim that he interacted with, and they look like seals, and people use these seals as a segula or as a kameya for protection. Now let me read this halacha. As the Rebbe spoke many sichos, some of them amuga regarding this hadin. Just to give it quick, let me read it inside, then we'll teach it. Hareim bechlal, these people who do that, they are included those she'ein lahem chelek lo'olam haba. It's that bad. Why? Because look at the strong words of the Rambam. She'ein lo ha'tipshin. Because these fools, not only did they nullify the mitzvah, how did they nullify the mitzvah, Yaakov? Because you added even a letter mibafnim. Not only did you nullify the mitzvah, it's much worse than that. For nullifying a mitzvah, you're not going to say you don't have a chelik l'olam haba. Elo she'asu mitzvah gedoyla, she'yichud Hashem shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vi'ahavasi, vi'avidasai, ki'ilu hu kameya shal anois atzvi. They made it into like an amulet. Like it entered their foolish minds, that this will be something that will help them to any of the vanities of the world. Now, let me just give a quick mekitzer. The Torah writes that when you put on the mezuzah, that if a person put up the mezuzah with the intent that it's going to protect them for protection, they don't think about that they're doing a mitzvah, then the Torah writes, then they're doing a mitzvah, shaloi lishma. Furthermore, that if you look the pshat in the Torah, when you put up the mezuzah, because it's a mitzvah, but you understand that God gave me a mitzvah to protect my home through the mitzvah of mezuzah. Not only is that okay, that's not even shaloi lishma. Shaloi lishma were to mean, I'm ignoring the mitzvah aspect. I'm doing this for protection. The mitzvah of mezuzah was made, God gave us a mitzvah to protect our homes. So just like, for example, the Torah tells us, put a mica, put a fence around your roof. That's for protection. It's a mitzvah for protection. The mitzvah of mezuzah is a mitzvah for protection. So as long as you know I'm doing this mitzvah for my home to be protected because God wants me to protect my home, that's lishma. It sounds like that Amam is arguing, says that, but of course not. The moment you take away the mitzvah aspect, when you take away the mitzvah aspect and you view this as a kameya, that is where you are destroying the whole idea of a mezuzah. Because there is a concept of an amulet. An amulet maybe gives some sort of shemitah. But if you have a mitzvah of shemitah, there's no greater shemitah than that. If you have a foolproof alarm system, lahavdol, and then you want to say, I'm going to do something different, and you downgrade what you have to supplement it with something inferior, that you're called a fool. That's the foolishness. But you're invalidating the mitzvah. You're invalidating the mitzvah to make it into a kameya. The mezuzah is not a kameya. Even if a kameya were to, the mezuzah is a mitzvah. And that's where we have to emphasize. We're doing a mitzvah of putting up the mezuzah. The mitzvah is to get protection.
But that's if it's on your door.
I want to add, very good. So let me already add, there's a lot of talks of the Rebbe on this. The Fi the Rebbe had a mezuzah on the statement. No mitzvah to have a mezuzah on the, and he had it there, l'shem shemira, like a kameya. And you have in the Mishnah, he speaks about people that would put a mezuzah in their walking stick. That's not a problem because it was never made into a mitzvah. But the moment you affix it on your door, the moment you're writing it, l'shem mitzvah, adding to it, invalidates it. So you lost the mitzvah aspect. And you think, oh no, it's good. I'll have more. I'll have a kameya now. Now I'm going to have the mezuzah and I'll have the chosim of malach machal. You fool. God's mitzvah of shemitah is the best shemitah. You invalidate the mitzvah to supplement it with something inferior. And you denigrated the mitzvah part of it. But we have to make sure that once the mitzvah is being written to be affixed on the door, that mezuzah has a koyach, it's a mitzvah. And that's it. And the mitzvah is how Hashem wants us to be protected. So if a person then he writes a mezuzah to put in their car, it's not a problem. If a person buys a mezuzah and he leaves it in their car prior to affixing it, it's not a problem. They know it's not a mitzvah. It was never meant to be a mitzvah. They bought it to put it in their car. For protection. It gives them, but the protection of the mitzvah is infinitely greater. The protection is the mitzvah is what's going to protect them. The words ala aretz has to be written on the final line. Now there are different girsois. Let me read the one option, not the way it's written in the Chayenu. Guys, listen. Bein baroish, bein b'soy fashita. So let me just tell you what we are trying to accomplish over here. Whoever sees the picture, kimei hashamayim ala aretz. The Torah is giving us a promise of arichus yamim. So we want to also symbolically, we want to separate the heavens and the earth to emphasize how distant they are. And that's how big our life will be. Very long arichus yamim. If you were to put the words al ha'aretz right under the words kimei hashamayim, kimei hashamayim is going to be on the second to last line. Some people would to put the words al ha'aretz right under kimei hashamayim because shamayim and aretz, one are above the other. And you have a big empty space in the last line to show that your life will be as long as the empty space. That's one option. The other option is, you don't have to put it at the end of the line, as long as Kimei HaShemayim is at the end of the second to last line. And Al Ha'aretz is in the beginning, both letters in the final line, that's also emphasizing a merchak, Shemayim is up there, one line, and Al Ha'aretz is on another line. There's a hefsek b'neim, emphasizing the length. Either way is okay. However, the minig is, the way it was on the picture, is to write a mezuzah in 12 lines and to make sure that the words Baal Pa'aretz are the only letters that are written at the end of the 22nd line. So it's going to come out that what? That we're going to follow the option of writing the words Al Ha'aretz B'roish Hashita and not B'soif Hashita. Now that the Rambam says that our minhag is to squeeze it in to make sure that it fits into 22 lines. So now these are the letters that should be written in each one of the lines in the beginning of the line. Shabbat Kol Shita V'Shita. Let's say there. Number one, Shema. Number two, Hashem. Number three, Hadvarim. If you put it up, Kevan, you'll see it works. Number four, Levanecha. Number five, B'vushach B'cha. Number six, Bein. Number seven, B'chaya. Number eight, Metzavah. Nine, B'chol. 10, Yoida. 11, Asif. 12, Pen. V'shtach Avisam is 13. 14 is Hashemayim. 15 is Vavadatem. 16 is Visamtem. 17 is Oysam. 18 is Oysam. Baderech is 19. Uvisha Arecha is 20. Asher is 21. And now, like we just said, the Al Ha'aretz is going to be 22. Halacha 6. Kishkoiflan Oysai, when you fold the mezuzah, how do you fold it? You don't fold it, you roll it. Goylan Oysam, you know what happens when you fold it? When you fold it, you're going to end up invalidating it quicker because it's going to break the letters. You roll it, and you roll it from the end until the beginning. Ah, Chetimsu Kishifta Chakoyda Litvis, if you were to open it up, you're going to open it up from the beginning until the end. Another thing, once you rolled it up, you put it inside a tube, either made out of reed or made out of wood or out of any other thing. Mystically, Alpi Kabbalah, we don't put it in a metal, which includes silver. Alpi Kabbalah, because that Alpi Kabbalah diminishes the Shemitah part of it, but it doesn't matter because the Ikir is the mitzvah. And a Hanami, it's a mitzvah for Shemitah, but anyways, just to remember that, as we state somewhere, I think it was in Tikkuni Zoyer, not to put it in a metal case. And you have to affix it in the doorway, in the mezuzah of your door, the masmid with the nail. No, it has to be firmly affixed. Or you can actually make an indentation in the doorway proper. And as we'll see later, not more than a tefach, but you can go make it go in. And many people do it if the mezuzah is being stolen. Okay. Either way, it's fine as long as you don't go deeper than a tefach within the doorway. Halacha 7. Right before affixing it, v'shteitim l'toiram u'chesaftam al mezuzos. One might think the mitzvah is to write it. If that would have been the case, and if that would have been the case, by the way, then you would not be allowed to take a mezuzah and put it on your desk or in your car. Because the mitzvah is to affix it. A bracha, birchas hamitzvos has to be made. You don't make the bracha prior to writing, you can make it prior to affixing it. But before you affix it, you make barachat Hashem. By the way, other people say you also make a shechiyano. The Rambam doesn't make mention of it. Our meaning is not to make a shechiyano. The enam of arabashas k'sivasa, because shekviyasa, zu hi hamitzvah. Halacha 8, tula b'makel, which is a mishnah. If you hang it in a stick, which means you put it in the stick, you put it in a reed, but you hang the stick on the doorpost. It's not a fix. Nadud, psula, she'enzu kavua, henicha acharei hadelas. Guys, it happens. Sometimes, guys, the mezuzah means the doorpost. Think about it. Sometimes, not only are you not putting it outside because people are stealing it, then if you don't have a breda, you were to put it inside, but you don't put it on the doorpost. You put it behind on the wall. That's not good. You put it acharei hadelos on the wall, you understand? Then loy asa klum. Just to say this, do we paskin, especially with the doors that go to the street, put it as close as you could to the street as possible within a tefach of the Rosh Hashanah? Like here in Sola, there's a very thick entranceway. So our main mezuzah, which is the one on the street, you'll see is mamish near the Rosh Hashanah. When Rabbi Shachar came here, he said it's so far away from the other part, and it's behind the door to put there. You'll see there's two mezuzahs here. One is just because the Rosh have to put it because it doesn't look good that there's no mezuzah where people look for the mezuzah. But it should be done. Sometimes people steal the mezuzah. So the solution is people put it again within the behind the door. Behind the door on the mezuzah is good. In the door, but already on the wall behind, that's not good. What happens if you dig into the mezuzah proper? Let me say this will be the mezuzah. I hope people can see this. What happens if you put it like this? In other words, what happens if you make a hole and instead of putting it up, I know we put it on a slant. I'm not focusing slant or straight, but you put the width of the mezuzah is what's going to be standing up. You lay it down and you stick it in like a nail. That's something, or like a beam. It's not good. If you make an indentation in the mezuzah, like we mentioned, but not a little bit, but it's more than a tefach, or more, then it's not good. It has to be less than a tefach. If you cut a reed, you're making your mezuzah. Guys, you're making your doorpost. So you have walls, but you're going to still frame it with a doorpost. Prior to framing it, you're framing it with reeds. You put a mezuzah in part of the doorpost, and then when you build the doorpost, shine, the mezuzah is already there, also not good. Why? Because you have fixed the mezuzah prior to having the mezuzahs, which means the doorpost on your entrance. Halacha 9, mezuzah sayachid, a mezuzah from an individual in the dekas for my meshuvah should be checked twice in a 7-year cycle. Mezuzah sarabim should only be checked, only needs to be checked twice in every 50-year period. We already quoted yesterday from the Mata Ephraim, Aleph, just to know that the parchments and the ink nowadays don't last as long. And Beis, there's an inyan beyond the letter of the law to check it once a year. The Rebbe suggested not only to follow the once a year, this is beyond the letter of the law, but it should be done b'chodesh rachman b'chodesh el. Why do you have to check it halachically once in 7 years, once in 50 years? Shema nikra memenu isachas and imchaka. Maybe a letter got torn off, got erased. But why is that? And why by tefillin, the Rambam write that by the letter of the law, remember the tefillin, no outer part of the tefillin looks like it's problematic, you never have to check it, because it's kavua baksalim. It's affixed on your door, and therefore there's moisture, and the moisture is mirakevus, it can make a decay, which is why nowadays the common halach yelach is we put plastic around the mezuzah or some other paper material that to a certain degree keeps the moisture out, because that moisture on the wall, hot, cold, summer, winter, can make it decay quicker. Halacha yud hakochev, the mezuzah, everyone is obligated to fix a mezuzah. Afil enoshim ba'avodim. U'mechanchem esak tanim, lasois mezuzah libotehen. Hasoich erbais b'chutz la'aretz, if you rent a house outside of the Holy Land, or if v'hadlan b'pundek b'eretz Yisrael, if you are renting a house in Israel, it's just a, pundek means you're renting a hotel, but it means if you're renting, if you don't own, then you are exempt from the mezuzah for the first 30 days. Aval, but if you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, you chayev the mezuzah immediately, and many amadayik, which is takad din, that even b'chutz la'aretz, when do you have the 30 days if you're soicher bites? But when you buy a house b'chutz la'aretz, you chayev right away to put up a mezuzah. Halacha yud aleph.
Does a slave and woman make the bracha?
Sure, if they chayev, they make the bracha. Hamaskir bayis l'chaveh. If you own a house and you rented it to your fellow, who is obligated to put up the mezuzah? The owner or the one who's living in there? The one who lives in there is chayav. Ala soicher lo havei mezuzah l'kvay ois. Afilo hayinoy sin schar al kvi yosam. Even if the tenant offers to pay the owner, you know what? You find me a mezuzah. You put it up for me. No, it doesn't have to do that. It's not about who pays for the mezuzah. The chiyuv is on the guy living there. Pnei sheha mezuzah chayves hadori, and it's not a chayva on the house. But that's all when there was no mezuzah prior. So you built a house, a brand new house, and I'm the guy renting it, I put it up. What happens, you Jew, me Yid, Baruch Hashem, we live in a house, and we're moving to a better house, moving to another place. When we leave, lo yitlenu biyodin yetzei, the Yid should not take the mezuzah off. Now there's two inyanim in here, just to know, there's an inyan that the house, which has the protection from the mitzvah, loses the protection from the mitzvah, so you are almost indirectly opening up the house to potential problems. That's what Tosfos says. And then there's a other achrayim that say that pashut, the act of removing a mezuzah in this scenario, when the owner is a yid, so we're not worried that they're going to disrespect the mezuzahs, is not good for the person who removes it. But if the house belongs to a kuti, and therefore belongs to a guy, we don't know what he's going to do with the mezuzah. The mezuzah might be disrespected, and there's a nightclub, then you remove it when you take it off. You know, many people today, what they do is that if they have very expensive mezuzahs, they spend $150 for a mezuzah, and they're moving out. Here in this area, many of the landlords are yidden. You have to leave the mezuzahs, so then you buy kosher mezuzahs, but more affordable is that you exchange them. You didn't take off the mezuzah, you left the mezuzah, and then you have at least the more expensive mezuzahs with you. Let's move on. Pedik Shishi, every Pedik today gets a little bit longer. We have to try to finish it on time. Pedik Shishi now, Atkan was about the writing of the mezuzah and the fixing. Everything is so organized. Pedik Shishi Yaakov is about what home is obligated to have a mezuzah on it. I know the chiyuv is on the one who lives. When does the person who lives in the house have a requirement to put up the mezuzah? If it's a bias. So we're going to learn the 10 dinim, 10 requirements that a house has to have to be considered the house that's mechayiv, that is mechayiv, the door to put up a mezuzah. Halacha, 13 halachas. Halacha, aleph, freilach, asara tanoim. There are 10 requirements in a home, even though it's not a chayvus habayis. So chayvus hador, but the door is mechayiv to put up a mezuzah on a bias. And you should know that it's not lachatchila, that these, all of the 10 must be met. You have to check them off. Put them in a mezuzah, the Elohim. Beautiful. Say that. Yeah, Yaakov. Number one, Shia ben Arba Amos al Arba Amos. The house should have 4x4 amos, which is around 6x6 feet or more. Number two, the Shetieno Leshtei mezuzahs. There has to be 2 side posts. Now, guys, there's so many pratim questions. I don't have time. What happens if a house has on the right side, however you define, that side has a post. The other side is just the end of the wall. We put it up without making a brach. There's a lot to add, but that's why we get to be finished late. But let's read the Rambam's 10 requirements. To be mechayev, to be mechoyev, the Rambam, you have to have both mezuzahs. Number v'yiloi mashkoif. And it should have, that's number 3, and it should have a lintel. Above the two that are resting on the two mezuzahs. Number 4.
Wait, you said 4 amos. It's 4 cubits, right?
The minimum size. It's around 6x6. Guys, don't forget, in those days, it was very common that the house only had one room. It's like a chiddush. We'll learn later in Chazal. If there was even a room within a room, that's the normally one. That's the whole house. And it should have a roof. That's number 4. Number 5, it should have doors. Ooh, big machlekes that I would argue. It's a big simchas toid over here. The Rambam says it has to. You have to have doors. You know, this is very relevant. Like in our house, in our homes, we have, you know, like King Solomon's homes. So there's many entrance ways that don't. Yeah, you can have 2 mezuzos and a mashkoif and a tikra, but there's no doors. According to the Rambam, you're exempt. By 6, the shiyah hashar gavoy asara tvachim. The entrance way should have at least 10 tvachim height. Can you imagine? People at homes, guys, you know how little 10 tefachim is, and the whole entry, the height, you would crawl on your knees to get in there. It has to have 10. 10 tefachim is good for a midget, but it's good enough, alpi halacha. Halacha 7, the house should be used for choyl, and not koydish, as we'll see soon. Number 8, it should be made l'diras adam. Number 9, even in diras adam, it should be intended to be used for a dignified diras adam, as we'll see. And the final halacha, v'asu l'diras keba. And any building that's not made to be there permanently, however permanent is the good God, the whole Olam Hazeh is not permanent, but relative. That is the 10 requirements. And now let's go break down each one of
them. So Abayas Choyl, does that mean like a shul doesn't need it?
Very good. A house that's only Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, if it's only used for that, yeah, we'll get to all the details. Halacha number 2. Bayis she'elay arba amos al arba amos. That's very straightforward. No 4x4. Put them in amos. Now get the Rambam paskins. What happens if it's not 4x4, but you have the total of the 16 square cubits? Is a machlekes that Rambam holds your chayiv. So you know, many times we have a closet, and what I do is I extend my hands. That's more or less 4 amos. More or less 4 amos. 6 feet. If you're 6 feet tall, more or less, then when you extend your hands from finger to finger. What happens if in one direction you have 8 feet, in the other direction you have less? The Rambam says you're mechayev. You can square it off. The im yesh boy kedei lerabeya arba amos al arba amos b'shaved. It ends up, you end up with a total of 16 square cubits, even though the room is round, even though it has a pentagon, it's 5 corners. So the width is 8 amos. You understand it? Just ends up with the right total amount. Hoyel v'yesh lerabeya arba amos al arba amos. Then your chayiv mezuzah. Halacha number 3, achsadra. Achsadra is a structure that has 3 walls, has a roof. One side is completely open. Sometimes 2 sides were completely open. Now, if you can just imagine, the moment you speak about the 3-walled room, you might say that the 4th side that's open has 2 mezuzahs, which are the ends of the walls of either side. And many times they would put pillars there. That's not called a mezuzah. A mezuzah means a doorpost. Any structure that's made only to hold up the roof, which is what we call the pillar, even if it's positioned in a way that it looks like a big, magnificent entranceway, nice pillar, it's not called a mezuzah, and therefore you're going to be exempt. We paskin that way. So many homes here in LA, when you go prior to the home, you know, you have an overhang, and there are certain pillars that are holding up the overhang, and you always walk through them. Do you have to put a mezuzah on every pillar? No. Something that's made for a pillar is exempt from a mezuzah. So, there are two pillars. Not only do you have the two walls, they put, to beautify, they put a pillar on this side and a pillar on that side. And when you walk in there or walk out on that open Ruach Revis, you're walking in between two pillars, you are exempt from a mezuzah. Now, guys, there's a whole issue here, is that the Rambam also writes that if there are no doors, you are exempt. So, first, it could be you're exempt for two reasons. But let's leave it at just to be aware of this. Hold on, there's no doors anyway. But the fact that there are no mezuzahs exempts the achsadim. We're going to learn more about another case of an achsadim later. Mepnei, shahap aida are pillars. No, the pillars are there only la'amad atikra. They're there to hold up the roof. And they're not made to serve as a doorpost, even though you can say it's a fancy doorpost. That's not the way we view it. Hatikra. If you have a place that only is roofed, I think that's called a gazebo, right? In many places, beautiful places with weather that is blessed, like here in Los Angeles, so people like to go outside, but you don't want to be hit by the sun. See, so in Miami, you can go outside, it's humid, but in a place like here, just don't, not in the sun. So you have the, it's called a gazebo, right? So that's it. So, and there's pillars all around it. That's called pillars. In other words, even though you walk through two of them, they're made just to hold up the roof. If you would be able to put up a gazebo with no pillars, you would do it that way even better. Looks, it's made like a house. Yeah, you have a door post on the right and the left. The keeper can make cashes, I'll stay on mezuzahs, and the lintel is a, oh, that's a beautiful, it's a Spanish home, like here in LA. It's not straight, it's arched. Now, guys, this is the key. Yes, and if prior to the arch, prior to the circle, you have 10 tvachim height, no, it's really, it's one arch. You're viewing it, whatever is straight up is viewed as the mezuzah. The moment it begins to arch, you call it a mashkeit. That's fine. Chayv mezuzah. However, came and leave the picture up. Im ein loy asar tefachim. But if prior to the arching, you don't have a straight 10 tefachim mezuzah, then that whole thing is peturim mepnei she'ein lo mashkeit. Let me tell you something. We halachically will always create mezuzahs of 10 tefachim. An area halachically cannot be both a mashkev and a mezuzah. The moment you're using, whether you like it or not, the Torah uses part of the arch to be defined as a mezuzah, because a mezuzah has to be 10 tefachim. So even though it's already turning, especially if it's very wide, it's going to be no problem. That will be first defined as the mezuzah. The moment that is defined as a mezuzah, it can no longer be defined as a mashkev. So we will say this place has mezuzahs. We're going to view both sides, the straight and the curved, as a mezuzah. There's no mashkev. You're going to be potter from mezuzah. Guys, it's very common this in LA. You have many arches, and we have 10 tefachim of straight. Just you should remember that when you put up the mezuzah, it's going to be very low, because you can never put up the mezuzah on the mashkev. Oh, now. Very good. Halacha 5, if a house doesn't have a roof, patim ena mezuzah. One second, people ask a bomb question. What are you talking about? All of the sha'arim in a chatzim. If there is a mashkeit, we put up a mezuzah. The Rambam will also agree to that, because we're going to learn later another rule that any area that opens up to an area that's chayv in mezuzah, which is a courtyard that's opening up into a bias, that's why it's going to be chayv if it has two mezuzahs and a mashkeit. If you have, like we have over here, the gates to my garage, to your garage, you can have two mezuzahs. There's no mashkev, even that will be exempt. But if it's an outdoor area that's not open to a bias, then we say that if there is no roof, you're potter from mezuzahs. What happens if you have a house, part of it is roofed, part of it is not roofed? I never saw such a house. So the Rambam says that if the roof part is adjacent to, juxtaposed to the mezuzah and the mashkev, just when you go further into the house, that's where you don't have a roof, then you're going to be chayv b'mezuzah. Now, do you need to have four amas and four amas mekoida? I don't think so. I don't think so. L'chayda, if the total has 4x4, the area near the doorpost is roof, you're chayv. Okay. Umamid and adalasa is another din. Since that Amam holds, that you have to have doors, just like we learned in the last Pedic, that if you put the mezuzah in the doorpost and then you affix the doorpost, no, you were not chayiv yet. You put it up at the wrong time. First, you have to put up the mezuzah, and then you have to put up the mezuzah, because there's no chiyuv of mezuzah according to the Rambam only if you have doors. So put up the doors first. Halacha says. Harabayis. Danny, that goes to your saying about Kodesh. The Temple Mount. Now, Temple Mount is not Makoyra. We'll see, it opens up to a place that's Makoyra. You have to have another reason why it's exempt. And all
Rabbi,
of the
a house that has a portion with the roof and without a roof could be a chutz. If it goes around a courtyard. Why not?
Yeah,
if it goes all the way around, part of it is uncovered, the rest of it is covered.
Okay, fine. Very good. You're going to be chayv to put up in a if there's two mezuzahs and a mashkof, like we mentioned, you have chayv in a chatzar because of the din that we are about to learn. Because there is in there, if people who go through there could go into a house that has a roof, to a house. Hanabais valishkas vazores abotik misiois, only for davening, places that are only for davening and learning. Point is that you don't have in them living quarters. They are peturim, guys, because that's the prerequisite, because they are called holy areas. Now, Besaknes shel kfarim, this is just a technical thing. People that live in villages are normally poorer people. Oichim, achrasas oichim is something that important. What did the Pnei HaKfarim do when people came? They couldn't afford, their whole home was 6 feet by 6 feet with the 12 kids. Where are you going to put the oichim? So there, in the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses, there was a side chamber where the Urchim would stay. So that's the way, there was some place there in case someone has to sleep. The Chayna Beis HaKnesses of large cities, also that's just a technical thing. Large cities, they were wealthier. They were able to pay for a shamish to be a janitor. But instead of paying him cash out of pocket, part of the salary was you get to live in that little chamber in the shul. Oh, it's the moment someone is living in that structure, not in the guts of it, in the sanctuary, but in that structure, then you're chayiv. Now, all of the gets that were in the Beis HaMikdash, let me say this first by heart. We already learned this, guys, together, right? The Kohen Gadol lived in the Parhedrin chamber. How did he get to the Parhedrin chamber? He walked through Shaar Nikmar. So it's not only that the living chamber is chayiv. All of the sha'arim through which you walk to get there is also going to be chayiv, even though it's an open area, because it's considered in service of that private area. So I said that since the no roofed area after the Shaar Nikmar is going into the other doorway, which is going into another doorway, which eventually is going to lead the Kohen Gadol into his private chambers, that's why you're chayiv, as long as those sha'arim have two mezuzahs and a mashka. Chutz mishaar Nikmar. The Shaar Nikmar and all of the other Sha'arim Shalifnim Mimenu, including obviously the door going into the Parhedrin chamber proper, the Pnesha Halishka Hazois, Toysa Beis Dira L'Kohen Gadol, Bishivas Yemei Hafrasha. Guys, the words of Chazal is V'chol Shehu Pesuach L'Cheder HaChayiv is Neschayiv Gamhu B'Mezuzah. That's the club. Halacha 7, Beis HaTeven, a storage house, a Beis HaBakar, a barn, a Beis HaEitzim, a woodshed, a base, any type of storage room. Okay, what's the issue here? They're not made for living, the Turim and HaMezuzah, because it says Beisecha, which means Beisecha HaMeyuchel Lucha, for human habitation. And therefore, Nefes HaBakar. If you have a barn, a barn had multi-purpose in the times of Chazal. Women wanted to put on makeup. The whole house was 4x4. And while she's putting on makeup, the husband, the kids are interacting, she needs 2 minutes of privacy, so she would go to the barn. That's it. Then it's Chayv HaMezuzah. Chayv HaMezuzah. Sharei yesh bo yichu l'diras adam. Now, Beishad, guardhouse, that's, if it's a standalone, it's not made to live, it's made to stand, just to give the guard some protection. But the guardhouses, many times, were adjacent to the house proper. The achsadr that we spoke about before, but here the achsadr is adjacent to a proper home. Umir peses a porch, but mamish, think about a porch on a second story of a motel. Is you walk through the porch into the rooms. The hagina of hadir peturim and amezuzah mipnei she'enam asoim levira per se. Here is the key, guys. Again with achsadra. Im hoyu batim achayovim bemezuzah pesuchem lemakayim aseilu. But if they open up into a home made for living, they are going to be chayiv bemezuzah. Let me say the words, because kol shehu pesuach lecheder achayiv bemezuzah nischayiv gam hu bemezuzah. Okay, halacha 8. We can fabreng a lot over here, but everything fits. It fits. We just mentioned this. You have gates to courtyards. What's the chiddush? It's not roofed. You can say it's patur. And per se, it should have been patur. Or the echad shari hamavoy is when you enter a mavoy. The chiddush of a mavoy is that the mavoy doesn't open up into a house. The mavoy opens up into the chatzar. That opens up into the house. I don't care if you have to go through 10 different types of doorways. The echad shari medinas vayorois hakochayavimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimim Why? There's no roof. That will be the issue. Sharei habatim achayovim b'mezuzah p'suchim l'teichem. And even though it's indirect, afilu asar habatim. Zeh p'such l'zeh. V'zeh p'such l'zeh. Choyil v'apnim yichayi b'mezuzah kulam chayovim. V'prei zeh amru shara p'such b'na gina l'chatzer is chayi b'mezuzah. Because you go from the gina into the chatzer, into the bias, fine. Halachanai. Beis hakisei. Or a beis hamerchitz. Or a mikvah, beis hatfilah, or beis habursiki, chayotze behem, the turim and amezuzah, even though it's not because it's not made for human, people hang out there, it's not a barn, but it's not asuim ledidas kovet, that's what we mean by kovet. What about keva? Keva means a sukkah. The sukkahs, hachag b'chag, even during the times of a yantiv, or beis hasfina, a house and a boat, we don't differentiate no matter how big your yacht is, Turim and Amezuzah, because it's not called Keva. Shtei Sukkah Shal Yoytzim Zulaf Nemizu, potters, what they would normally do is they would set up some sort of temporary home, and they would have a room within a room. They would live and store their expensive stuff in the inner room, and they would have their wares, and they would work in the outer room. HaChitzayin Turim and Amezuzah, Lefi She'ena Kavua, Lefi She'ena Kavua. In other words, the point he's trying to make is, what's not kavua, guys? The inner one is not kavua. Well, it's the outer one would have been examined because it's not made to live. But you would think, so what, that it opens up to the inner one? No, the inner one, the whole thing, because they would move from village to village, the whole structure is not kavua. Hachanoi shebishvakim, same thing, if people have these shops, they call now, it's called pop-up shops. I don't know if I'm touching it correctly, the pop-up shops of today. But if you have structures that are built only on occasion, when it's busy, that's where you have the store opened up. It's not made. Farmer's market. If you would have a structure, even a structure in there, even if there would be a room in there that the vendors go in there to rest, you're going to be potter because the whole thing is not kavuyim. It's not a kavua de kadira. Halacha yud. A house that has many doors, which was a big chiddush. Now it's every house. Even if you only go through one of them you never use or you hardly use, doesn't matter. But you have to make a mezuzah in every doorway, even on the little doorway that goes between the house and the second story. They would go up on the opening. You got to make a mezuzah there. Chayv a mezuzah. A room in a house. Even a room inside a room. Chayv. Lasis mezuzah al shara cheder apnimi, al shara cheder achitzen, al shara bayis. Shekula masuyim lediram, and they are kavuyim. Halacha yudalev pesach shebein beis medrash. Oy bein beis haknesses beis. So if you have a wall that's adjacent to your house and the door of the beis haknesses, how do you view that wall? So this says that Rambam, you know, that entranceway. If you use it im rogolotzis v'lovi beis pesach chayv mezuzah. Here it's different. If you're not rogo lotzis velavoy, this picture is not relevant. If you're not rogo lotzis velavoy, then you would look where the heck it sits. And if this would be considered a door to the house, it would be chayiv. If it would be considered a door to the beis hamedrash, you would be potter. Even in the case where you would have been potter because of the heck it sits, if you de facto use it, you're chayiv. Pesach shebein shtei batim. If you have a door between two houses, or today between two rooms, so now the question is, which is the right side? This is a whole topic, but I'll just read it quickly. You follow the hinges. It's called heketzir. Makem shatzir nira imoy shom kriven lasamazuzah. The way we interpret this halacha, my friends, is the following: when you have, it's not on which side are the physical hinges, but we understand this to mean, we paskin this to mean, it depends to which direction does the door open into. So if I'm standing here and the door opens here, whether it goes this way or that way, if it's going ahead of me, that's the direction I face. and I put the mezuzah on the right side. If the door were to open to me, then I would go to the other side facing indoors and put it on the right side. There are other considerations which are extremely important. How did you get there? And which room is considered more chashuv and less chashuv that the Rambam doesn't mention? I'm just saying out there that there are many considerations that have to be made, but that's the way we interpret Heketzir. In other words, aside of which room is more chashuv, aside of the flow, a big factor will be which is the right. Should I face this way right here? Should I face the opposite way right on the opposite side? I have to face facing the door as the door goes into the next environment. So if it's going from here to there, I face towards where the door opens up. I hope I'm being as clear as I could be, doing my best. Now, says the Rambam that, I wanted to add that if the door is from the outside to the inside, add at least that detail, doesn't matter where the heck it's it is. So if you have a door to your house and it opens up out, you don't put the mezuzah facing outdoors. From outside to the inside, you always put it facing the house. That's why the Rambam is saying it's a Pesach Shebein Shtei Bata. This din of Heketzir is only if you are going between two environments. But halachi beis, hechan, kovinam. So now that we established which way you should face, so now let's go for more details. Number one is b'toich chalol shel Pesach v'tepach asam chalachutz. You put it ideally inside the doorway. If the doorway is very thick, as you have here, as you have in many places, you know, stone doorways, then you put it not in the middle symmetrically, tefach closest to the Shusar Abim. Don't forget the mezuzah, the mitzvah of mezuzah is Hashem wants us to put up a mezuzah so we should be protected. That's what Hashem wants. And the protection is not only while we are in the house, but the mezuzah, of the mitzvah of mezuzah affords protection, even mebachutz. So you put it mebachutz. So that's number one. Number two is, betchilas shlish ha'elyon shel goiva hashar. Measure from the bottom until the top. If there's an archway, measure prior to the archway. Divide it into three. And going melmata lemaila, put it on the bottom, in the beginning of the top third, going up. Most people don't measure, they estimate. And whenever you estimate, I would say that 99% of people put it up too high. It's still kosher to the evet, as long as it is not within the top tefach. But they should put it lower. And the advantage of putting it lower is not only that this is the ideal place, is that children and people, I mean, Hagenu was to touch it and to kiss it, it becomes more available. You can see it. Okay. Halacha, okay, that's invited. The im kavala ma'ilam, but if you put it higher, so, you know, they estimated wrong, it's kosher, tefach, as long as it is away down from the lintel, a tefach, or more. Number vayten, the tzarech lekava al yamin hanichnas labayis. Here, at least the Rambam, when you're going into the house, I don't care which way the door opens up into, I don't care about the hinges, put it on the right going in. Then kava mismail, after post facto psula. Another than bayis shall shutafim chayv b'mezuzah. Just to juxtapose this with the beginning of the next tzedek, sefer toira, the mitzvah is the Rambam writes al kol ish ve'ish. Partners buying a sefer toira. Well, if you need a Sefer Torah, you got your Sefer Torah, but it does not, you have to write your own Sefer Torah. When it comes to a mezuzah, right, the partnership does not make any exemption. Final Allah Yugimol Chayiv Adam Lizar B'mezuzah Mepneshi Choyvas Ahakoyl Tamid. Now, when do you fulfill the mitzvah? Just to make that clear. When you affix it. When you affix it. But like, it's like tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh together. The mitzvah is likvoya. But there is a hemshech ha-mitzvah as it remains affixed. Now the words of the Rambam is only going to be found in the Zohar. The Rebbe said that. That's one of the many places that show you that the Rambam learned Pnimiyus HaTorah. This statement, b'chol zman sheyikonos v'yetzei, whenever you go and you come, yifka b'yichud Hashem, you will encounter the unity of Hashem. Shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yizkar avasi, v'yeyor mishnasi, v'shigi yoysa, v'avli yazman, v'yeyda, she'ein davar b'hoimid lo'olam lo'olam yalamin. Nothing eternal. Why are you invested in that which is only temporary? Ella, the only thing that's really eternal, even for people like us, is yediyas sur ho'olam, is the knowledge of godliness, which is the knowledge of God and godliness and the knowledge of the Torah. Umiyad hu choizir l'datay v'hoilich v'darkim nisharam, and it's going to help the person get on the right path. Omr ha'chamam ha'rishayim. Kol Misha Yesh Lei Tfilin Beroishoi Ubezeroyoi It Sitzes Bebigdoi Umezuzah Bepischoi Muchzaku Shelo Yechte. Of course, everyone has freedom of choice. They can make an extra effort to sin, but it really it protects the person from sin. That's another point that I ever wanted to make, that when people think that you can't associate Shemitah to the mezuzah, and that's Eim L'chelek L'olam Haba, the Rambam ends telling you what it gives you. That's a stira, and the Rambam, it's not a stira, because the word there is that you are taking away the mitzvah part. You're making it only into a kameah. That's chutzpah and narish. No, the mitzvah will afford you this ruchnius dika protection. And they will protect you by Yechalzeim. Brich Rachmana Desayan, the Rebbe pointed out, that Rambam doesn't always end with Brich Rachmana Desayan. Look, guys, look at, I know that this is the last Perek of Mezuzah. The last Perek is Sefer Torah, but it's not Halacha Aleph, it's Halacha Shvi. And you can ask sometimes, so why does the Rambam write Brich Rachmana Desayan? Because we just spoke about the Siyua of the Mezuzah. And even though it's not only the mezuzah, the Rambam Taka quoted the tefillin, right, and the tzitzis, but the third is the mezuzah, that thank God that Hashem gave us these mitzvahs that also are misayeya us not to sin. Now, we're doing it l'shem mitzvah, but the mitzvahs, this is a sea, and we need, we're living in a world that without God helping us to stay away from sin, oy gevalt, where we might end up. And on the positive, we're protected. So thank God who is our misayeya. Even though the Rambam uses the same lashon when he finishes a whole sefer, but he wrote it in over here. Beautiful. Okay, chevra, Hilcha Sefer Torah. It's not a part of the series, so it's not chapter one. It's chapter seven. Today we will learn in the 16 halachas the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah and many prati dinim of a Sefer Torah. I want you to know, chevra, there are many people that love this part of learning, and when we have kids that like this with the safros and with these dinim, we should explore that. They should hire soifrim. We should be, there's so much of halacha that's very hands-on, and this speaks to many people that have a harder time with other areas in Torah. They love this. Okay, Perek Shvi, 16 halachas, halacha number one. Mitzvah saseh, I'll call ish ve'ish mi'yisrael. Every yid, ish ve'ish means not partners. Big machlekes, whether ish ve'ish excludes women, there's a big talk about that, but whichever one it is, to write a Sefer Torah to themselves. You have to write your own Sefer, as it says in Parshas Vayelech Va'ato Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira. Now, what does that refer to? Bipshat. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, write down the Song of Hazinu. But that's not what he meant. We have from oral tradition, what Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say, write the entire Torah that also has in it the Shiras Hazinu. Now, why can't you say that Moshe Rabbeinu meant that write down the Shiras Hazinu? You can't even do that. Lefisha ein koisvin es atoida parshias parshias. Wow. And we're going to have more about this soon in this Pedic. Yaakov, just one thing I can say, that we paskin that if you're not using the Ashuri letters, you could write just a little part of the Torah. But when you're writing Svarim as they wrote it then, al haklaf with diyoi, the minimum is to write a whole chumash of the Torah. You don't have to write all of the chamish chumash Torah, but you have to write a chumash. So it can be that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to write down, and he definitely meant to write it with parchment and with ink. You can't write just the Parshas Hazinu. The word, that's called Parshas Parshas. Now, when it comes to this mitzvah, what happens if I didn't write it, but I inherited a Sefer Torah? That Rambam holds mitzvah lichtoiv mishaloi. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to write it. Not everyone is a Sefer. First of all, try it. The Rambam says that if you're not writing it, if you hire someone, good, but writing it is even better. There's a whole sikh of the Rebbe where the Rebbe shows you where the source for this is, which is a big chapat in Kanamakh. But if you don't know how to write it, and that's better than just saying, I have it ready for my father. I yarshim it. No, it's at least you were the one that paid someone to write a sefer Torah. Now that I'm right, sefer Torah. If there was a sefer Torah that was possible, and you go ahead and you fix a single letter, it's as if you wrote the whole Torah by yourself. Just to add, the Rosh says, whether it's a machlekes Rambam and Rosh, it's another topic, let's go, it's a machlekes. The Rosh says, this mitzvah was since the Torah says, the lamdos b'nei Yisrael, that the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is for the purpose of having a Sefer from what to learn from. And therefore, according to the Rosh, maybe according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah kol ish v'ish was when there were no svarim printed today. So think about it. The Sefer Torah wasn't only for the communal reading. For that, every shul needs to have one Sefer Torah, or three Sefer Torah, or five Sefer Torah. There's a limit. If this is your seifen, then every yid has to have their own seifen. That's what they're learning from. The Rosh therefore says that first of all, it doesn't only go to the Torah Shabbat. Once Rabbeinu HaKadosh Eis Lassis Hashem allowed us to write down the Torah Shabbat, it goes to Torah Shabbat, the same mitzvah midday rice. And then he says it doesn't have to be written, it can be printed. And the Rosh negates this whole idea that writing it is Ki'ilu Kibla Mahar Sinai. You have to even know the source of the Rambam. Bottom line is that we accept the Rosh as our poisik, that there is a mitzvah for every Jew to buy Sfanim. You don't find amongst Truma people everyone writing or purchasing their own Sefer Torah because we apply it nowadays, Ba'ifin, buy Sfarim, buy a small Sfarim. And we know that the more Sfarim you have, the more you're going to end up learning. Halacha based.
The checking of a single letter, is that where we get the custom of buying a letter?
That's also a custom of buying a letter. Thank you, Kevin. But don't forget that when the Rambam writes mitzvahs, I say, I'll call ish v'ish v'yisrael. Why does he write, I'll call ish v'ish? You can write mitzvahs, I say. So one of the meanings of ish v'ish is that this mitzvah that the Rambam is referring to is not to do it in partnership. Now, buying a letter, Kevin, according to the Rambam, I know that I'm buying a letter, you're buying a letter. There's a partnership over here. Right, the magia that the Rambam is talking about is that there's a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah is possible. And you go ahead and you fix that letter, ooh, that's already different. Okay. HaMelech, mitzvah, all of the Sefer Torah, Echalei Atzmai, L'Shem HaMelech, he has to write a special Sefer Torah for himself. I know, guys, that many of these dinim are written, and it's not a repetition, but in Kanamakim, that Rambam writes about this in Hilchas Melachim, but now we're learning this in the context of Tilchas Sefer Torah. Yes, and Allah Sefer Shia, like Shuhadyit, Shenemar, as it says, Parsha Shoftim, Hoy Keshif Al Kisim Amlachli, and on top of whatever he had before, and the Kos Avloi. Oh my! And now that Sefer Torah of the Melech, who there would they take extra precaution? Umagian Oisai, you have to proof read. You do that, like we mentioned, that you cannot write a Sefer Torah Elamin Hachsav. We said you can write it from a Chumash. No, not this Sefer. This Sefer Torah has to be written from a Sefer Torah that's in the Azara. Whether that was a Sefer Torah that we still had Bizman Moshe Rabbeinu, he left one in the Azara. Bizman Ba'isheni, we had a Sefer Torah that Ezra HaSoifer was Magia. And not only that, it has to be under the jurisdiction and the overview of the Beis and Hagot. He can put it in a storage chamber. Like any other year that wrote a Sefer Torah, of course, again, let's go back to the Rosh. You wrote it to learn from it. But if you're not learning from it, you put it in a special place. But the one that the king writes specially, that has to be with the king constantly. It was a small Sefer Torah, and he pushed word on him. Even when he's eating, and you don't want to put it on the table because, guys, water ruins so easy a Sefer Torah. You have no idea. I saw it once. It was heartbreaking. In Brazil, there was a beautiful Achmasa Sefer Torah and by Aiki. And we were making l'chaims. I feel bad for the person who did it. And mamash, a little bit of l'chaim spilled. And the whole column got ruined, like, in a second. And Brazil people are superstitious, and don't ask. It was a lot of emotional reaction that was not necessary. But it is what it is. That's where I saw that, like, we have to keep water mashke away from the bima mile. Shanema, that's why when he ate, it's not ima, you see, but it's connector. What happens if this person, this king, never even had the first one? Very good. He has to write two. One on that order. One is like a yid, the one that he can put away with base ganaza. And well, now he's already writing while he's sleeping. What did we learned about this yesterday? If you remember, 2 days ago, right? So then you have to wrap it up. We're machmer. We don't do that. But the Rambam says, like a tefillin, tick, b'sech tick. And if that's the case, you can even put it on your bed, even in between your pillow and your mattress, as long as your head is not on top of that part of the pillow. So but it says not by night, the way, or when you go into a beis amerchatz or to beis akisa, or lishin al mitosi. Halachadal. Say, for tere shekosvei b'leisivtut. If it was unruled, you didn't have those indented lines. Oy shekosvei miksosi al agvil. If you remember in the beginning of the series in Perik Aleph, the Rambam says Gvil is the parchment that was not split into two. The Rambam says Sefer Torah were written on the Gvil. The Rambam wrote that Tefillin is written on the Klaf. The Rambam himself wrote that you can write Sefer Torah also on the Klaf. We mentioned that it's more mahudir to write it on the Klaf. It's nicer parchment and it makes it lighter. But if you wrote part and part, it's not good. It has to be the same type of leather. Ella or kuli alagvil, or write the sefer Torah on the cloth. Oy kuli alaklav. Now, keitzad koisven sefer Torah. How do you write a sefer Torah? Chavra, listen to these words. Koisev ksiba misukenes. Noe biyoise. It should be written in a very careful and attractive calligraphy. And part of that attractiveness will be the form of the letters that everyone, al tamvarech in this vakeach. You look in a sefer Torah, some people say, wow, this ksav is so beautiful, or wow, that ksav is so beautiful. Okay, that's up to your taste. But there are certain halachis which halachically make it more beautiful. And that will be everything connected to symmetry or to consistency, both in the size of the letters and in the space between letters and in the space in between words. And it should always be the same, that it looks uneven. Yaniach ben kol teva v'teva, between every word, how much of an empty space should you leave? Ois ketana. V'chein ben ois la'ois, kimoloi chut asara, very small, the width of a hairbreadth. Or ben kol shita v'shita, between every line, the space of the height of a line. That mamash makes it symmetrical. For oirech kol ashita v'shita, how long should every line be? Guys, from we write from right to left. It should be the length of how many letters? Now, of course, you're going to pick your size letter, but consistent with your size letter, it should be a line in which you can write straight 30 letters. Shloishim oisius, and kedei lichtoiv le mishpechaisechem. Lohair, you have to know that if you look inside a Sefer Torah, you will never find in Chamish Chumash Torah the word le mishpechaisechem malei with the vav. L'mishpachaisechem only has 10 letters. This is just a mnemonic to remember. The Torah has the words L'mishpachaisechem, but in the Torah there's no Mali and there's 9 letters. But that's a word of 10 letters. So 10 is 30. Tola says him, that will be the width of every column. Now, he's not speaking here about margins. We're not there yet. But the written part of the Sefer Torah should be 30 letters. And the point is symmetric. Oh, don't make any lines less than that. It should be 30 letters. What happens if it's shorter than that? That's the way people wrote letters. Like the Japanese, they read down. You want to read across. But why can't you make it longer? Because this, you know, when people leave in Balkaitis, if it's going to be too long, then when you finish reading a line and you go back to the lower new line, you can skip a line. It's too much to go back and forth. Halacha 5. Many times you want to reduce the space of the ksav, like we spoke out again b'kitzur shita sarama about psucha and susuma. So if it's a parsha susuma, you have to leave 9 spaces empty, and then you begin on the same line. But what happens if you're not going to have spaces for 9 empty letters, if you're going to continue with the same size letter? So towards the end of the old parsha, I'm going to start making the letters skinnier. Now I'm going to have more space. That's not called na'eh. That takes away the beauty because it's not symmetrical. That's, you understand? Don't reduce the size of each letter because there's a reason. You're doing it for a reason. Don't do that. Nizdam no leitev. Now what happens if you're coming towards the end of a line and you have a word of 5 letters? There's a lot of detail there. So what are you going to do? Can you go beyond the margin? The Rambam says sometimes. What will be the alternative, just to know? No, whatever you do now won't be beautiful, because the other alternative will be, if there isn't enough room, let's say it's a word of 5 letters, and the letters have to be consistent. I'm not going to fit 5 letters. So one option would be, write the word on the line below. But what will that cause? That will cause that this line won't go until the end. That's also not beautiful. So you have to pick between two, the lesser of the problem. So can you allow letters to go out of the margin? So when you learn this, don't think it's a numbers. It's more than just numbers. In our case of a letter of 5, a word of 5 letters, the roiv has to be within the margin. And then we do allow for the other 2 letters to protrude. That's considered better than skipping that, leaving it empty and going to the bottom line.
Hyphenating is not.
Huh? Hyphenating means making it bigger. Making it smaller enough.
Two letters here and then 3 letters.
No. That for sure we can't. I was speaking about, just to know that there are places that our Seifrim, they make letters larger. The Rambam doesn't speak about it. The Rambam only says don't make it smaller. So there are places and Seifrim that make letters larger, especially when you look at a Megillah, not on the Sefer Torah. You'll see that a lot. But let's go back over here. What the beauty is that over the time, we figured it out. Not only we figured out that all the new Sefer Torah, they are all exactly the same. which is so good for people to prepare laning. It helps. Surah Sadaf, because we figured out in the Sefer Torah, you will find everything will be from the beginning until the end of the margin. But that way, like the Rambam, we wrote in the first chapter today, like the mezuzahs, he already told you there's 22 lines and what word should be in the beginning of every line. And it works perfectly. And all the mezuzahs will be the same.
He's not going to do that for the Sefer Torah.
Huh?
He's not going to do that.
He's not going to do that for the Sefer Torah. No. If not, we would have a share of reading a lot of words. But let's go back. So if you have a word of 5 letters, if you can only fit 2 letters and 3 will be beyond the margin, no, don't do that. Beyond the margin. And if you can't do that, what would you need to do? You leave that vacant. But if you can squeeze 3 of the 5, only having 2 go out, do that. I want to just bring out the following point that we're going to have later examples of much larger letters. And we're going to see that much more than 2 can be written outside the margin. In larger letters, I forgot the number. So we'll see the number. You can write more than 2 beyond the margin. That's because the bigger the word, if you put that whole word in the lower line, then there's going to be more empty space. So it makes it even less beautiful. You're weighing 2 things empty beyond the margin. In this scenario, 5, 3 in, 2 out. 3 out is not allowed. If the whole word only has 2 letters, S, Ben, don't write it in between the columns. Don't write it in between the columns. We just said that you can put 2 letters beyond the margin. That's because the alternative is not good. Here, don't write anything beyond the margin. A little bit of an opening at the end of the line is nicer than having anything beyond the margins. To go back to the lower line. Now, if you have, I mentioned the Mishpach HaSeichem, we know that in the Torah is only 9. If you were to make it Malay, it's 10. But in Tanakh, you have letters that are 10. Not only that, there's letters that are less than 10, Shkoyach, or Yosef. So it took someone to figure out there's 1 word in the whole Tanakh that is more than 10, which is 11. And that's, we read it, in Megillah Esther. Count that, 11 letters. So if you have such a long word, you can't write the whole thing within the margin. So now we don't say the secret is 2 versus 3. No, because here there's a bigger problem. Just like S is a lesser problem. Here, if you're going to put the whole word on the lower line, you're going to have much bigger of a gap, which is really not pretty. So we have more leeway to put more beyond the margin. Half and half. Now, I know 11, that's why he said 10. 5 and 5. Here we allow for you to write 5 letters outside the margin because the alternative is worse. You have to pack a leave it empty. Halacha number 7. When you're writing a Sefer Torah, you're dafka writing all together, all of the Chamish Chumshei Torah. So when you finish 1 entire Sefer, before you start the other one, you have to leave 4 sheetim panuyos, 4 empty lines will exceed them. It's late, I just can't hold myself back in. So what's the 4 empty lines? So we have for Torah Kahanim, that actually brings, we learned this in Chitas, we learned this in the Gemara. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah, he taught it 4 times. Everyone learned it 4 times. That's why in Surah Sadaf and the Gemara, the ones we have today, you will always have either Rashi or Tosfos 4 lines above the Gemara. Because prior to learning anything 4 times, you didn't begin learning it yet. Maybe that's connected to the 4 empty lines. When will it chop? Even though you have to learn many, many more times to remember it, but to get it, you have to learn it 4 times. Not more, not less. And then you begin the Nuchumish and the beginning of the 5th line. Look inside a Sefer Torah. It's exactly that way. However, now the Sefer Torah has to be finished at the end of a column. We're in the middle of the line at the end of the column. So what should you do if it doesn't work that way? So again, today we worked it out. Today, perfect. That the word Kol Yisrael is at the end, in middle of the line. But if you didn't have that, we didn't have the Seder yet. If you have many lines, now what people are medayek from the Rambam. The Rambam explicitly says you can't make letters smaller. If the solution would be to make the letters bigger, that Amon would have written, he doesn't write. What he writes is, we learned 2 prakim ago and today, that you can't make a mezuzah every line is being narrower from both sides. That you can do. What you could do here, Rabbi Mezuzah, is as long as you are beginning a line on the right side, instead of writing 30 oisyas, the one over go 28 oisyas, 26 oisyas. So there's going to be a indentation, but only one side for this purpose that you are allowed to do. Mekatzer ba'oila, meaning umaschil always from the beginning of the line, Shabbosayf Adav. V'lo yigmar sashita. You're going to make every line eat up less letters. You're going to have more letters to finish the column because even though you are always beginning a line, but you're ending always earlier. Nope, that's the vart. Okay. That's called mekatzer v'oila. It means that when you go up and when you go down, every line will be different. And the goal is, Le'eni Kol Yisrael should be in middle of the last line of this column. Halacha number 8. V'yizor, I see the oilam is already coming after 7 o'clock. They know already. Baruch Hashem. Less pressure. V'yizor, now be careful throughout Tanakh. Every one of the Chav Beis Oisyas, which are written, whatever your average size is going to be at least once that letter written big and at least once that letter written small. And we learn a lot about this in Kabbalah and Hasidus. So be careful, but Oisius Hanukudas. Who remembers Oisius Hanukudas? Yaakov. By Yishakeyo. Right, by Yaakov and Esav. In the Torah, you have these Nakudas. Oisius Hamashunois. There are certain letters that are written unusually. For example, Hapei and Halafufois. Now, you're not going to get Gavin Wolschwitz. You're not going to find this. Hashgacha Pratzis, last night I met the Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, the big expert scribe over here. He told me that we don't write Peyas Halafufas. He knows what they are. I asked him, give me where was it written? He doesn't remember. He knows like everything. So this is the one thing that just last night. So there used to be Peyas in the Sefer Torah that are written on you. We don't do that. And Oisis Ha'akumais is the Nun Hafucha that you have in Hashgacha Pratis, Pashas Ba'aloyscha, before Vayhi and after Vayhi bin Asayah, the Tupsuk. K'moy She'etiku Asay from Ishmael Pneyish. Another thing, be careful with the Tagen with Minyanim. Now, by the tefillin and the mezuzahs, the Rambam went through every single one. The Rambam knew we have to start davening at some point today before Chatzos, so he didn't write all of the tagen. If not, so what you do is you write it off an old Sefer Torah. And you should know there's a big the differences of opinions where you do have tagen, where you don't have tagen. Yesh ois, that there's one tag. That's very common by us. The yesh ois, that there are seven tagen. Say, I asked Rabbi Yosef, which ois has seven tagen? Said Shema from Shema Yisrael. I said, what are you talking about? Look at the picture Kevin showed it. The Shema that Amram wrote before only has three. Yeah, he knows that. But he says that three on the left head. But there are people that write another two on the middle head and another two on the right head. Two and three. That's the seven. If you know another seven, let us know. That was his chap. V'chol ha-tagim, all of the tagim look like a Zion. And they are dakim kechut ha-sai. That would be very skinny. Halacha 9. Kol ha-varam ha-elo. All of everything we learned, guys. Everything we learned from the Ketzat Koisvin Sefer Torah in this Perek, which is the middle of Dalet. Not the top of. The top of Dalet is essential, that you can't write half klap, half gavil. But from then until now, everything is limitzum min ha-mufchon. So it wasn't that symmetric. So you missed the tag. It's going to be kosher. As long as the letters have their proper form, the lines were too, they were not 30, they were too skinny, or you made them more than 30 letters, or as long as one letter doesn't touch the other, it's called mukaf gvil, means around every letter you have white parchment, and you didn't change by skipping a yud, by adding a yud, the letters that serve as vowels, and you didn't ruin the form of a letter, you didn't change psuchais to stumais, these are essential, that all of the above is, you missed the mitzvah min ha-mufkar. Halacha 10, yesh dvarim achedim that are not even written in the Talmud. Nevertheless, v'nohagu behem ha-soifim. Soifim put this into practice. They should teach this in cheder, I'm telling you, and in yeshiva. It's geshmak. V'kabalahu b'yad, even if you don't think you'll enjoy it, if someone were to give you the ink and the parchment, you'll love it. V'kabalahu b'yad, v'nishma p'yish, v'heim, that the minyan hashitin should be choldaf adaf, every column should have not less than 48, not more than 60. Number two, that there should be a revach between every parsha and every parsha, because I know I kept on mentioning nine, but that's not written in the Gemara. It should be the amount of open space that you conforming your size letters would write 9 oiseus. And the mnemonic is asher, asher, asher. Shiyah barosh ashitin. When you write the Shira Sayam, look inside your Sefer Torah. The Shira Sayam does not begin on top of the column. The Shira Sayam will have five lines on top of the Shira Sayam. And here it's Meduyik B'Yosef. The top line will begin. No, that's not good, Kevin, because you just showed the Shira Sayam. You got to find another picture. Go Schwitz. Haboyim Bayabosha, 3 Hashem, Meis B'Mitzrayim. And under that is Oz Yashem. Chameshitim. And under Shira Sayam, Chameshitim. So you see, this is all about symmetry. Beauty is symmetry also. And one of the five, the first one is Vatikach, number 2, Acharel, number 3, Sus, number 4, Vayetz, number 5, Ayavoy. Another thing, there are going to be 6 lines above Azinu. The 6 will be Va'ida, number 2, Achre, number 3, Haderach, number 4, Ba'achas, number 5, Lachis, number 6, Kahal. That's 6 Shitin. Okay? You can't divide 11 into half, but so it's heavy on the top. But again, that Rambam writes, like it says, Yishkoveno, this is in the Teichacha, when you have Krik Siv, the correct writing is Yishkoveno. You should read it Yishkoveno. They mean the same, but the reading is less harsh. Or also in the Teichacha. The correct writing is be uva apoilin. You read it uva tchoyin, right? But if you wrote the kri, not the ksav, uchayoit, that's not good. Or if you wrote the shira, not the way the special writing that we'll describe later, like bricks. If you wrote it normally, right? Oy shiras, oy shakasa parsha achas. If you wrote another part of the Torah, the way you write shiras hayam or shiras hazim, ooh, that is a puzzle. The ain boy kedusha sefer Torah klal. Ella, it has the kedusha of a chumash that was written for children to learn from. And as we'll learn again, that we're not allowed to write biksav ashuris, diyoy alaksav, anything less than an entire chumash, but a chumash was written. Halacha 12, sefer Torah she'ina muga. If it's uncorrected. So the Rambam says, you may not leave it for more than 30 days. Someone erroneously might end up using it. What should you do? Either fix it or yiganis. Yiganis means bury it. Says in the pasuk, right? That's the Gemara, al tishkoin ba'ahalecha avla. Don't allow an avla to be in your tent. That goes to a sefer Torah. That's not muga. Sefer Torah shesh b'sholosh tohoyis b'chol daf daf. If on every column there's 3 mistakes, not more than that, then you can fix it. If on every single column there are 4, then we're chayish, it's already unfixable, yiganis, with more details. What happens if it's not every single column? So it goes by the roif. Roif is good. How many columns? The Rambam is not writing. Now we can tell you, or Sefer will tell you, because everything is a copy from the other one. But the hashad, from the shad, there are 4 in every column. Other than 1 column, you can still fix it. No, sometimes you have a case where 1 daf, it's called is matzal eskulam. 1 tzaddik, 1 yid saves everything. Aloha yud gimel. When we're speaking about fixing, what could be fixed if Mali was written chaser, so you can add a letter. And by the way, in the Sefer Torah, we allow to hang a letter on top, in between. But of something that should have been written without a vav, you wrote it with a vav, fixing it is not so simple. What are you going to do? You're going to erase the letter. You're going to have a problem. It's going to stick 2 separate words. I'm sorry. If I can't, that's good. Very good. The fixing that we don't allow is if it's going to be very ugly because you're constantly hanging letters. But if fixing means you don't hang letters, then you can fix even if it's more than 4. Good. You can write an entire book of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, even though it won't have the kedusha of a sefer Torah. Aba lo yichtev megillah b'fnei atzma. Sheyesh b'pashyas. Don't write bereshis noyach lech lecha. We paskin that may not be done if you're writing it b'chsav ashuris. Okay. Ve'en kois v'megillah latinik l'islamim. But even though you're writing it latinik l'islamim, but the Rif argues with this. Even with the chsav ashuris, the Rif writes eis lasis l'ashem. They didn't have printing, so they would write for cheder. They would write a little bit. The Rambam says you can't. Even though the Rif is the Rambam's teacher's teacher. But if your kavan is to write a chumash Right now, you're up to, you just finished writing Parshas Bereishis. So let me chaparayin and teach a child. That's okay. And that's all from Kama Gadoi L'Masa Rav Chiya. That Rav Chiya did just that. He wrote Chamishi Chumshi Torah. If Rav Chiya would have been allowed to write the Nun Gimel Parshiyos, he would have taught it to 53 kids. They should teach each other. Kosa Megillah Sholosh Sholosh Tevois B'Shita Achas. Mutar, if you are only writing one Megillah, you're only writing one little part of the Torah, B'Ksav Ashuris, but you're writing three words on each line, which means you're leaving a lot of empty space in between. That's not problematic. That's why Hilnei HaMalka, remember that she in the Beis Hamikdash made on a tablet of Zav. She wrote the Parsha Sleita. So if there is a woman, you can copy it from that, from her golden tablet. How did she write it? Ksav Ashuris, the issue was Ksav Ashuris, not the D.I. Because she wrote Shalosh Shalosh Tevois. It was very spaced out. Very, so spaced out. In fact, Halacha 15, second to last Halacha. Mutel Ladabik Tayden Vim Ksuvim Kakechad. You can write a Tanakh on one roll. What's the Chiddush? Yaakov Launer, I'll tell you the Chiddush. Because if you write everything in one roll, what happens when you are in the middle of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim? You have that on top of the Chumash. We're not going to put anything on top of the Chumash. If it's in one book, it's not a problem. So when you have a Chitas, for example, so when you open it up, you can end up having the pages of the Tehillim on top of the Chumash. Doesn't matter, because it's Mikra'achach. This concept between the Chumash, you leave four lines. Between every Navi in this scroll, you leave three lines. Even between the Nevi'im of the Shneim Asa, little Nevi'im lach, big Nevi'im, little words, small booklets, you put also three lines. And if you want to cut it, you can cut it. See, a Sefer Torah, you can't cut them. Why not? Because the Kedusha Sefer Torah has more than the Kedusha of every Chumash. So you're moited. Kol HaMosef Gorea. If you have the whole Tanakh, even though you have the Chamishah Chumash Torah, plus the Nevi'im, plus the Ksuvim, it doesn't have Kedusha Sefer Torah. So therefore, cutting it, you're not diminishing the Kedusha. Yeshua, Shoeftim, Shmuel, Malachim, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, Yeshaya, and Tnei Yosef. The Seder of the Ksuvim, the 11 is Rus, Tehillim, Iyub, Mishlei, Kohel, Shir, Ashirim, Kinois, Doniel, Megillah, Ezra, Divrei Yomim. Final Halacha, Tezayin, Kol, Kiski, HaKoidish. You can only write them if they were on a ruled parchment, on the Sivtut indented parchment. Afilu Ksavim, Ala Neyor. Even when you're writing it on a paper, when you're writing Ksav Ashuris, it has to be Sirtut. B'mot Alichtav, Sholosh Tevois, B'loi Sirtut, as we mentioned, because it's not considered anything, it's so disjointed. Yoyser al zeh asu. Krach sheyesh boi toiran yim ksuvim. In kiddushas in kiddushas sefer toiran. It only has the elik chumash men chumashim because din hayosid ki din hachasid. In English, more is less. Let's go daven. Mishkoya.
Is there a
getting better by the day? Yes, there is. There's a masechta soifin.
But that's what.